Welcome to our service for Candlemas, otherwise known as the Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple. From the Gospel reading for today comes one of the best loved of all the canticles, the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon. It contains the promise that Christ will be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and it is from that idea of light that Candlemas takes its name. And so our first hymn today is Graham Kendrick's enduringly popular Shine, Jesus, Shine. Time of penitence. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Candlemas. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts, by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi isn't so much a name, it means messenger. And so it begins, "Thus says the Lord God, see, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 2. "Since the children share the flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested now." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You alone are my
The Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people and Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed about what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is sometimes known as Candlemas. We commemorate the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and especially the words of Simeon, that he will be a light to lighten the Gentiles. But Candlemas was also always a penitential festival, and we know as Gentile Christians that we too often fail to walk by the light which Christ has given us. On Friday this week, candles were lit across the land not because it was Candlemas, but because it was International Holocaust Memorial Day. I decided towards the end of last year that I would mark that memorial this year. It was because I read a little book by two Italian women, Tatiana and Andra Bucci, who were deported to Auschwitz-Birkenau in 1944. Italy had surrendered to the Allies, but northern Italy remained under the control of the Nazis. Italian Jews had been persecuted under Mussolini, but their lives had still been livable. Now they fell under the power of the evil regime of Hitler, and many, including Tati and Andra, were deported to the death camps. The great majority of them, including nearly all the children, were murdered in the Holocaust. Tati and Andra probably survived because the Nazis had earmarked them for the detestable torture of their medical experiments on children. It meant that they lived in a kinder block, separately from the adult prisoners in Auschwitz, including their mother, who was also there. One day, a white-coated man came to the kinder block and asked the children which 20 of them would like to go and see their mothers. Tati and Andra had been forewarned by their mother Mira. They knew that this was the lie by which children were enticed away to be experimented on. They shared this, too, with their little cousin Sergio, who was imprisoned with them. But for Sergio, the idea of seeing his beloved mama was too strong. He went with the doctor. Decades later, it was discovered that he was one of 20 children murdered by hanging in a Hamburg cellar, having first been deliberately infected with tuberculosis and had the lymph glands removed from his underarms. Tati and Andra's mother, Mira, emerges from the story as a woman of extraordinary resourcefulness and courage. How she even managed to see her children in Birkenau, they never quite knew, but she stole between the camps as many as half a dozen times. She would hug them, of course, and kiss them. They were a little frightened of her, head shaven and emaciated as she was, But she would say to them every time, "Remember, you are Tatiana Bucci. Remember, you are Andra Bucci." She knew that she might not survive, and she knew that her husband, who'd been a prisoner of war in South Africa for the duration, might survive and might look for the girls. At the liberation of Auschwitz, she herself had survived, but was again separated from her daughters, who went first to a harsh convent school in Prague, but then found a kind and gentle home in Lingfield House in Surrey, England, where an English Jewish charity was housing child refugees from all over Europe. It was there that Tati and Andra were eventually found, so that they could be reunited with their parents. They returned not to their home city of Fiume in Italy, because it had now become the city of Rijeka in Yugoslavia, now Croatia, but they went to Rome and then to Trieste. Two extraordinary little girls, aged 7 and 5, who could speak Italian and Yiddish from home, German from Auschwitz, Czech from the convent in Prague, and English from Lingfield House. Incredibly, though, one thing they never spoke of was their experience in Auschwitz-Birkenau. Their mother, who had been so determined that they should survive it, was now determined that their survival must mean that their lives should not be permanently scarred by what they had all experienced. The girls went on to live normal, happy lives with husbands, children, and grandchildren. They never spoke with outsiders about the war until they were interviewed in the late 1970s for a book about Lingfield House. Only in the 1990s did they speak openly about Birkenau and become active in educating younger generations about the Holocaust so that its horrors might not be repeated. Not until 2020 did they write the extraordinarily simple, matter-of-fact but unbearably moving memoir which I read last year. I recommend it to you. Its title, in English, is Always Remember Your Name.
Come to me, thy daughter.
So to our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoeth yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef ddechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw yn bar y benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n un a ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwen ni brofedigaeth, eithi gwared ni thrag drwg, tan i seith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea.
Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to know you. You have called us to love you. You have called us to serve you. Make us worthy of our calling. May we proclaim your power and your peace. May we rejoice in your light and in your love. Through Christ the living Lord. Amen. The week of prayer for Christian unity runs from the 18th to the 25th of January. The theme this year was belonging, praying for unity amidst injustice. This year will be the 30th anniversary of the death of Stephen Lawrence, but we all know that racism continues to destroy lives. Scripture reminds us that we cannot separate our love for God from our love for others. We love God when we feed the hungry, give the thirsty something to drink, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick and visit the prisoner. When we care for and serve one of the least of these, we are caring for and serving Christ himself. God calls us to honour each member of God's family. Caring for, serving and loving others reveals not who they are, but who we are. God of unity, forgive us when we are self-serving and help us to grow in unity and understanding, as we extend your love and justice to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those areas of the world where there is conflict. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, and also this week for the people of Israel, both Israeli and Palestinian. God bless the persecuted and the oppressed. God bless the refugee and the dispossessed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless your church, that it might reflect your glory, that it might guide your people into the ways of love and peace. We pray for the leaders of our church here in West Wales. We pray for our Bishop Joanna and pray that she will soon be well enough to return to her post. We pray for our Archdeacon Eileen and our LMA Dean John and for Matthew, Judith and Helwyn. And of course, we pray for Richard as he faces new challenges. We pray for all the church volunteers who give so generously of their time to keep our churches open. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the days grow longer and spring draws near, we ask our Creator God to forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share, and may our feet tread lightly on the road that we travel together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you today those members of our 10 churches who are in need of our prayers, and in a moment of quiet we name them in our hearts. Draw close to them, we pray. Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch. May they know deep in their hearts that you are never closer than in our darkest day. And we also pray for those who are grieving the loss of someone dear to them. May they feel your presence with them and know that you are their strength, their healing, and their salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You shall go out with joy.
and finally a blessing for Candlemas. May God, who said, "Let there be light," give you light for the tasks of the day and light for the comfort of the night, until he brings you forever into the light of his eternal presence. And may the light of Christ shine in your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.